chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to Inside the Tunnel, presented by VT Scoop on 247sports.com.
Get out of here and get something cold to drink. Y'all want to, too, you know it. All right, let it rip. Let's go.
Before we get started, Matei from the future here. If you haven't listened to part one yet, where we discuss Liberty, I urge you all to do so. Now, before you listen to this one, this will be the latest podcast in your feed at the time of hearing this. All I have to say is the transition is a little tricky just because we went on for a very long time. So just understand at the end of the Liberty podcast, we were talking about the optics of Justin Fuente and how it might change if the Virginia Tech Hokies can get a positive result against Miami.
Or maybe next week.
Honestly, or next week. You know, there's just so much uncertainty. The only certainty is that Virginia Tech will play against number 9, Miami.
Wow, what a segue.
What a transition. Miami is coming off a big win over NC State, where they came back from behind at the very end of that game. And, you know, things are going to be more difficult for Virginia Tech's defense. Obviously in do-or-die mode with the ACC championship format this year, with the top two teams from the entire conference getting a bid into that game. But, you know, Miami, they have De'Aaron King. And you think about the last few weeks, you think about Malik Cunningham having a career-high passing game and scrambling around the defense. And I know Virginia Tech won that game, but, you know, Virginia Tech did have to sweat it out quite a bit. Then you have Malik Willis last week, and you know I think anyone would tell you he was the best player on the field, regardless of position. And then this week you perhaps have the best quarterback of those three in De'Aaron King, who has nearly 2,000 yards passing, 16 touchdowns, 5 rushing touchdowns. So he's having a tremendous season for the Canes.
Yeah, I guess his, the only good thing is his name's not Malik. So there's not three in a row there, but he is the last thing that Virginia Tech wants to face right now. He's one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the ACC, depending on how you feel about Trevor Lawrence. Well, Trevor Lawrence is the number one, but depending on how you feel about Sam Howell, coming off the best game of his career or best game of his Miami season, they brought in a new offensive coordinator along with them. So it took them a little while to get going. So if you're looking for a team hitting its stride, that's a scary sight to be coming into Blacksburg after that performance last week. I think he had 400 yards passing, 100 yards rushing against NC State. He's the first quarterback to do that in the FBS since he did it himself in 2018.
Love it.
So he's the, he's probably the best quarterback Virginia Tech's, or the most dynamic quarterback Virginia Tech's faced yet. And the complete opposite of what they are good against. You know, this is a defense that is not good against balanced offenses and balanced quarterbacks. And he can throw the ball and run the ball. And I think that's a very unnerving sign heading into this week.
And then Miami still has a bunch of playmakers around him. Cameron Harris, 81 carries, 408 yards, rushing for an average of 5 yards and 5 touchdowns. Maybe he'll get a boost to that yards per carry against the Virginia Tech defense. But and then you look at Mike Harley and Mark Pope, two wide receivers that have been having really big games, especially Harley in his last two games. I think, you know, against UVA, he had 170 yards. And then last week against NC State, he had 153 yards. And he's capable of just bringing a big play out of nowhere. To make matters worse, Miami has been without Brevin Jordan, and he's expected to return to the fold, and he's one of the top tight ends in the ACC.
This is as North Carolina of an offense as you can get, except King can also run the ball. Harris is a good running back. They have two backup running backs. Some blank one's Chaney and one's Knighton, I think. And I think they're both freshmen, and they don't look like freshmen at all. They look like, you know, they look like Travis Etienne. And they're both really, really good. So, you know, they've got a three-headed attack, a tailback, adding King on the ground, Harley, Pope, Wiggins, I think, is the other wide receiver's name, who is a burner. And then if they get Brevin Jordan back, you know, he's probably the number two tight end in the country behind Kyle Pitts at Florida. So, you know, they scored 44 points against NC State last week without Brevin Jordan. It's just not a good matchup. There's no other way to put it against this Virginia Tech defense that, you know, if Virginia Tech, like we've talked about, if Virginia Tech doesn't get off to a good start, it's going to be a long day.
And especially looking at Miami, I will say, when you look at De'Ara King, he's not as fast of an athlete as Malik Willis or Malik Cunningham, but he's a much better thrower. And, you know, watching his most recent games, he's really been putting the ball downfield with tremendous accuracy and, you know, throwing back shoulder fades, and really has good timing for a guy that's a first-year quarterback with the program. So I think as time has gone on and he's become more comfortable within that offense, he's doing a great job, just as he's done his entire career at Houston. So, you know, he's more of a guy that's going to expose you through the air, in my opinion. He is one of, I think, in the top five of all quarterbacks in terms of scramble yards. So when a play breaks down, he doesn't see a route open to him or a read he wants to commit to. He is still just as good at tucking the football. I don't think he's as fast as those other two quarterbacks we've mentioned, but, you know, still very effective as a runner. And then when you're looking at the Miami offense in general, it's with any Miami offense. I mean, they're literally littered with 5- and 4-star recruits. And I think what makes this a very scary game is knowing how Virginia Tech has tackled this year, putting those types of athletes in space. It could be a scary sight if, you know, the defense isn't as sure-handed.
Yeah, it's the matchup that, you know, it's difficult to chase around Brevin Jordan, three really fast wide receivers and a couple running backs, and still keep your eye on a running quarterback and shut him down. UVA did it, but that was in a torrential downpour. Clemson did it, but that's Clemson. Pittsburgh limited them a little bit, but we've talked about how good their defense is. And Virginia Tech's defense is not good. So it's going to be a tough matchup. And they'll attack Virginia Tech multiple ways. The corners are going to be put on an island. And if they give them a one-on-one opportunity, it's going to require them to make plays down the field on deep balls. Dorian Strong, Breon Murray, Armani Chapman, those kind of guys. Getting Jermaine Waller back would be huge, obviously, but they've got a couple other guys that they can pick on. So, you know, it feels like one of those games where Virginia Tech's going to have to, you know, hang in there and try and create a turnover or two. They haven't been able to do that in losses this year. They haven't been able to get off the field at key moments, and they haven't been able to create enough turnovers in those losses. So, you know, we'll see, but on paper, it doesn't look good.
I was actually going to point that out with Breon Murray and Dorian Strong. You're looking at Jermaine Waller, and he's kind of solidified himself, even though he's still working back into the mix. You feel comfortable with him against these types of players just because of his experience. But Breon Murray is really a guy that when he did show up, it was more in the nickel spot than being an outside corner. And then Dorian Strong has made some good plays, but you're seeing some of the coaches pick on him quite a bit in coverage. So that's one particular matchup that I'm worried about. But one other matchup I want to bring or ask you a question about. Do you remember last year how Miami's offensive line got quite the buzz for not being able to protect the quarterback? Do you think there will be opportunities for Virginia Tech's defensive line that seems to always break contain, but they're going to pressure the quarterback? Do you think they'll have opportunities there?
Yes. So their offensive line is better than they were last year. I think they allowed 51 sacks all of last year, which is, just feels like, I didn't check it, but it feels like an insanely high number of sacks to give up in 1 year. I think they're at like 17 this year, and most of them are against Clemson and Pittsburgh, who, as we discussed, are the two of the top defenses in the league. I think they'll have opportunities, but I'm worried about King's ability to get outside the pocket and get outside of that containment, as you mentioned, is going to be a problem. I think if you can win the battles up front quickly and get in his face quickly, you have a chance. He's thrown a couple high this year when he's tried to, stand in the pocket. But, like I said, I think he's going to like his chances in open space against Virginia Tech's defense. So there's no reason for him to stay in the pocket if he can get out there and put some pressure on Virginia Tech's defense. So, I think, Justice Reed might be able to get home a couple of times. Barno, if he continues to play well, might be able to get home a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be like they're not going to be able to tee off on him. Last year, Zion Nelson was his name. He was the left tackle. He's a year older and much better. They've actually split time at left tackle, between him and another guy, but the other four positions seem fine, and it's enough for them to put up 44 against NC State. So I don't think Virginia Tech's going to be able to make enough to like dominate the game with the pass rush, which probably is an issue.
I think my worry about Virginia Tech's defensive line, you look at De'Ara King, and unlike the other quarterbacks that Virginia Tech has seen this year, I think he's listed at 5'11", but he looks more like 5'9", 5'10". And quarterbacks that are shorter, it's harder for receivers to see him when he's in the pocket. So typically he's getting the ball out fast, getting the ball behind the line of scrimmage on screen patterns, bubble screens, whatever, or swing passes. Or he's running outside the pocket. And I think what worries me is a team like Virginia Tech that breaks contain so many times, allowing a guy to do that is playing to his strength. So if there's ever a time to keep him within the pocket and kind of force the pocket to collapse and keep him inside of that, it's this week. And I just don't know if we see that happen. But
yeah, Rhett Lashley, the new offensive coordinator, seems pretty destined to be a short-term offensive coordinator just because of how good he is and how quickly he's risen up the coaching ranks to be an offensive coordinator at Miami. So it seems, I think if he's as good as advertised, which I think he is in terms of, and their offense is as confident as it seems, I think they're going to have solutions for what Virginia Tech can throw at him.
Moving on to the defense, few highlight players. Bubba Bolden, USC transfer, former five-star guy, really an impact safety for them. He's been ACC Defensive Back of the Week a couple times. Quincy Roche, we remember him. Had he committed to Virginia Tech, the Temple transfer, instead of Miami, maybe we're not talking about Justice Reed coming to Blacksburg. He was one of the hottest names on the NCAA transfer market, which isn't free agency, by the way. But and then there's Jalen Phillips on the defensive line, who honestly, after losing, I forgot what his, what was it? It was like Rousseau for Miami, who opted out.
Greg Rousseau. whatever.
Yeah. I didn't know how to pronounce it, but Rousseau, Rousseau, whatever. He was one of the best defensive ends last year for Miami. They lose him. He opts out. Jalen Phillips comes in. Oh, by the way, the former number one overall guy in the sports composite that was at UCLA and transferred to Miami. He's having a decent season, but you'll definitely notice his presence. He's 6'5", 265 pounds. Al Blades Jr. at cornerback, one of the best cover corners in the ACC. And then Zach McLeod, who voluntarily took a red shirt last year after they had Shaq Quarterman and another linebacker, just so he could see ample time as a redshirt senior. So still, you know, a Miami defense that did give up a lot of points against NC State, but in four of their other games, you know, allowed less than 20 points against their opponents.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They look like a classic Miami defense, and, you know, their linebackers look massive, and the defensive ends are going to jump off the screen at you, and the safeties in particular, Bolden, Amari Carter, and then there's one other that are beasts. But, you know, 41 to NC State, I think Javion Hawkins at Louisville got him for 150-ish. ETN, he gets everybody for over 100. But there was success running the football. I think they're in the 40s or 50s in terms of rush defense. So there's potential there for Virginia Tech's running game to have success. Clearly, Khalil Herbert's health is a big question mark. James Mitchell and Nick Gallo's health, equally big question mark, I think, for what Virginia Tech wants to do. I think your blocking in the running game takes quite a hit when you go from Mitchell and Gallo to Drake DeLuise and Kyle or whoever else it is. So that's something that you're gonna have to watch. But they're fast, they're big, they're athletic, they're aggressive. I think there's opportunities. You know, last year Virginia Tech had success unveiling kind of the new hidden hooker misdirection passing game offense. You know, Dalton Keene is still open from that game. And I think there's another opportunity. I mean, I think it's the same kind of thing. Screens. If you can take advantage of their aggressiveness, you're going to have some opportunities to move the ball. But, you know, Roche is, he's your classic, like, going to be an NFL pass rusher, defensive end, outside linebacker type guy. Big matchup for him, probably with Darisaw, I think. And then Phillips on the other end doesn't get off the ball as quickly and get into the backfield as quickly, but he's going to be all over the field as well. I think that's the strength of their line. They have a defensive tackle, number one. I don't know his name, but he also looks, you look at him and you're like, how are you a defensive tackle? So they have a lot of talent. I don't know if they've executed as well as they want to this year. And I think there's opportunities to kind of use their aggressiveness against them, like Virginia Tech did last year.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network, covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Yeah, number one, Nesta Jade Silvera, really good player in the middle. But you're right, there are some opportunities. It's kind of like what we've seen with Virginia Tech, trying to be extremely aggressive on the defensive line. Sometimes your linebackers get drowned out and running backs get to the second level. So, you know, this is a huge game. If Khalil Herbert is available, he looked like he could have came back into the game. I know they said he was out. That was the report, at least, on the broadcast. But he looked like, you know, any given play, he could have came back into the game. So I'm optimistic he could come back, but hamstrings are tricky situations, especially for running backs and especially for a guy that is more commonly running for 20 plus yards than 5 yards to get that burst with the hamstring. But, you know, like you were saying, the tight ends were such a crucial part of the game last year. And if you're on your third and fourth guy, that's a huge deal. So, you know, a lot of things have to happen for Virginia Tech to be successful, at least offensively, when you look at the playmakers on Miami's side.
This is going to be a game that really tests where Virginia Tech is mentally with this season and how committed they are, because Miami's going to pop you. Miami's going to hit you really hard, and they're going to do that for four quarters. And you've got to keep getting up and going back to the huddle and running the next play. You know, if they get up early, if they have a big swing on turnovers, you know, their physicality is going to can wear you down and just make you quit if you're not the right mentally, if you don't have the right mindset to really go to battle with them, basically. So I think that, given where Virginia Tech is in the season coming off the Liberty game, that's, we're going to find out a lot just based on what kind of challenge they give Virginia Tech physically. And, you know, their defense flies around and is going to pop you. They're going to take their shots at you. And how much of that are you willing to withstand to hang around in the game is going to be huge.
Moving on to special teams. And it's going to be a battle. This is one that I look forward to since last year. But Miami, insanely good on special teams. Borales, their new kicker, 13 for 14 with a long of 57 yards this year. So paging Justin Fuente here, if he lines up for a 59-yarder at the end of the game, he's probably going to kick it. So make sure you have your personnel ready, because this guy can actually make it. So you might want to put in the punt or the kick block unit. And then there's Lou Headley, the Australian, tatted head to toe. Like you were saying earlier, he's a guy that doesn't allow the opposition's punt returner to get many, if at any, opportunities to return his punts. All in all, very good special teams. I will say, they were torched for 100 yards last week by NC State on the kick return. Bam Knight had a 100-yard touchdown. So maybe there's some opportunities. Maybe James Scheibest sees some, you know, chances for Keyshawn King if he's able to come back to make a big play. But, you know, looking at their two guys, their kicker, their punter, versus Virginia Tech's Oscar Bradburn, who's a good friend of Lou Headley, both Australians, and then Brian Johnson. It's set to be interesting on fourth down, so maybe just don't use the bathroom until halftime.
yeah, they're both. I mean, both teams have really good specialists. You talked about Lou Headley. He's allowed 4 returns this year. Virginia got him for a 19-yard return, their only return of the day. Pittsburgh got 2 returns, and then Clemson got 1 return. That's it. He does that rugby style. He doesn't go that far right. I guess he's reading something there, but, you know, it's basically a fair catch every time. Definitely upgraded their kicker from last year. I think they missed 6 or 7 field goals this year, and the guy they have this year was a transfer from FIU, who's like a Lou Groza Award probable winner. It's going to be I think if you looked at PFF's like kicker ratings in the ACC, these are the top 2 kickers. So, you know, the thing is, Virginia Tech can't be kicking field goals to win this game. They've got to convert opportunities into touchdowns. Miami could kick field goals to win the game, I think. But if Brian Johnson is, you know, kicking 3 or 4 field goals or something, Virginia Tech's not going to be winning this game. So, you know, Bradburn, if he can, the field position game is obviously huge for Virginia Tech defense that struggles. You can't give them a short field. So I was on kickoffs. The guys up right in the middle are going to have their head on a swivel, because they'll kick it right at you and hit you in the back as you turn around. So they kind of got that creativity that I think James Shebess would like to also have. So I think you might see some funky things on special teams.
Yeah, when you're talking about Barales, I was actually going to bring that up as my next point, but it looks like a squib kick, but he did it against NC State last week. He's actually aiming at the guy that's like turning his head to look at his own returner. He hit an NC State guy square in the back and they recovered the football. So it was technically an onside kick, but he's aiming. I mean, normally when you're talking about guys, you know, hitting from 57, you're talking about how strong their legs are, but this is a guy with accuracy too. So head on a swivel the entire game.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I don't think they'll probably do it 2 weeks in a row now that it's on film from the last week. Tech should be ready for it. But just, you know, if you can't go to the bathroom until halftime, you also can't go on kick returns. You have to kind of stay glued.
You can't go at all. So let's bring this big picture now. We've discussed a bit of Miami, gave the highlights of their offense and their defense guys to know and some of the things that they're able to do. But last year, we were singing kind of the same tune after a loss to Duke, and Virginia Tech was going down to Miami. And I think we all expected Virginia Tech to get blown out. Obviously, the hidden trick was bringing Hendon Hooker and putting him in for his first start, replacing Ryan Willis. This year, Miami knows Hendon Hooker. So I don't know if there's anyone else on the bench that we haven't seen yet that Virginia Tech can implement, and all of a sudden, you know, the game favors Virginia Tech. But, you know, looking at last year also, they were able to get multiple interceptions and force Miami to use multiple quarterbacks. And it was still a close game at the very end. But, you know, Miami kind of signified that turning point for Virginia Tech last season. What does Virginia Tech have to do? Who has to be back? Maybe we see a little Raheem Blackshear finally, but what has to happen for Virginia Tech to kind of make Miami this annual, okay, Virginia Tech is going to be all right?
Yeah, Blackshear definitely needs to be a bigger part. You know, I think he's been a little disappointment in terms of, I know he's been had a little hamstring issue and all that stuff, but if he could get going, that would be huge. I don't think it's different than, you know, you mentioned last year's game. The first half of that game was pretty fluky in terms of how many consecutive turnovers, you know, good plays by Waller and Farley. But, you know, that doesn't happen very often. And then it took an Alan Tisdale pass breakup after the broadcast had ended. Oh, yeah, I forgot he puked in the middle of this. Just what a game last year. It doesn't get any better than that. But I don't think it's the path to success is different for this game this year than any other game. They have to get off to a good start. I kind of wonder if they'll take the ball if they win the coin toss, just because they've been deferring and giving teams a 7-0 lead, basically. So Tech's got to get off to a good start and then try and create a turnover to. I think that's what they've done against NC State, against Boston College, against Louisville, is the good start, and then you combine it with a turnover that kind of gives you that extra possession early. And then you can hold on late, but, you know, it's going to take everything as far as Virginia Tech's defense to figure it out in the second half, because especially if Miami gets Brevin Jordan back as expected, I don't think Tech has anybody that can match up with him. So, you know, it's going to take a perfect first half.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, like I said before, there's always three keys to a Virginia Tech victory: getting that early lead, maybe taking the ball first and marching down the field. Hopefully it's Khalil Herbert back in the fold. We'll see. You know, dominating the time of possession kind of goes with the ground game of Virginia Tech this year, and then winning the turnover margin. I think anyone will tell you it's going to be, you're going to have to make some of that flukiness happen. And, you know, whether or not it's luck, you're making turnovers happen. And I think especially with a guy like De'Aaron King, You know, if you can get Amari Barno, who was batting down multiple passes last week at the line of scrimmage, if he's able to do that and it bounces the other way instead of going to Yarborough for a first down, if it goes to a Virginia Tech defender, you know, we could be talking about a different game. But, you know, it's going to have to be a controlled approach. I think, you know, what I would like to see is a little less, you know, hopefully less than 20 carries by Hendon Hooker. I don't want him to get absolutely destroyed by a behemoth of a defensive line that Miami has. I'd like to see Raheem Blackshear. We've heard so much about him. And the funny thing is the coaching staff only praised Khalil Herbert for his blocking abilities. And he's one of the best running backs in the country. We heard so much about him. Is this the game that maybe they get a few gadget plays for him? Maybe they make something happen. Maybe a throwback. I don't know. But I think Virginia Tech just, they have to, I mean, they've shown you get turnovers, they can win the game. And then offense just doing the same old with maybe a bit more diversity from Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, you're going to have to get somebody not named Hendon Hooker going on the ground, whether Khalil Herbert's available or not, whether it's Raheem Blackshear, something to take a little bit of pressure off of Hooker. And not have him get beat up so much when he runs, but also that's going to open. Hooker is not going to be able to win this game with his arm. If Miami knows he's throwing, they're going to come after him and light him up. So you've got to get somebody else going besides Hooker on the ground to, number one, protect him, but then give him a chance to get the rest of the offense going.
Yeah, last thing I'll say about Miami. They are ranked number 9. They are a very good football team this year. But this is a team that has played in a lot of close games this year, and you never quite know what the competition level they will play up or down to. You know, last week was the story of their offense with their defense kind of taking off a week, and the week before was a story of their offense taking off and their defense being the driving force of their victory. So it's going to be interesting. You know, you talked about it this entire episode about consistency being key for Virginia Tech this season. And particularly it's going to be important in this game. And it's the same thing for Miami. How do they show up in Blacksburg? So it's going to be really interesting. Again, last year, it was the turning point for Virginia Tech, and, you know, they pieced together a solid season. So we're going to see if that's the case here, but any final thoughts on Miami, Liberty, anything we've discussed today before we wrap this one up?
Getting ready for basketball season. ACC schedule came out today. That's all I got.
Yeah, the basketball season's coming soon. We'll have more on that as the time comes, but the last thing I will say, I'll leave all of you with a thought. Oscar Bradburn is averaging 14 yards per carry this season. That is all. That is all. We'll see you guys next time.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.